Blog Talk Radio.
Make me a house, make me a house of bread. Make me a house, make me a house of bread, a house of bread.
Lord, make me a house, make me a house of bread. Lord, make me a house, make me a house of prayer, a house of prayer.
May the fire on my altar never burn out. The fire on my altar never burn out. May the fire on my altar never burn out. Make me a house of prayer.
Yes, may the fire of my altar never run out. Thank you for joining in to another broadcast of Kingdom Builders Development Institute. Hallelujah, where we are blessed to be a blessing. Let the altar never run out. Let the altar never run out. Always get replenished. Always be prepared to do what God has called you to do. Again, I want to thank you. This is Pastor Teresa Dock. And again, I'm excited and delighted to be here with you on Kingdom Builders Development Internet radio broadcast. You can call us at 646-668-2780, and you can chime right in to our live broadcast. Or if you choose, you can go to www.blogtalkradio.com/KBDI. Hallelujah. We're here every Wednesday at 5 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And we're here on Sunday at 12:30 p.m. bringing the word to you live at 5. Hallelujah. Every Wednesday. Again, we're excited about our Watch Night service, which will be December 30th and 31st. We will be bringing the new year in prayer with a two-day prayer conference. Hallelujah. You will be able to register on eventbrite.com starting Monday morning. I'm telling you, get ready, because God's getting ready to shift some things around. God's getting ready to move by his spirit. God's getting ready to take over your life. All he's asking you to do is to let him. Glory, 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 glory. Are you willing? to say yes to the Lord? Are you willing to say yes to the Lord? Yeah, we will say yes to individuals. We'll say yes to our boss. We'll say yes to our wives. Yes to our husbands. Yes to our boyfriends. Yes to our girlfriends. But what God is asking is for a yes to him. Glory to God, to whom all glory is due. Glory to his master's and marvelous name. Just say glory to your name, Father. Glory to your name. Because in spite of what we go through, we can always find joy and peace when we get into the presence of our almighty God, our almighty King. He's the King of kings. Who is the King of glory? Come on, somebody. Who is the King of glory? The Lord, strong and mighty. Listen, we're going to be talking about today how to prepare yourself for kingdom work, how to prepare yourself for the King, how to prepare yourself for the Master's use. Amen, amen, amen. I'm excited this evening because, you know, when all hell break loose, all the Lord is saying is, let me in. All the Lord is saying is, let me lead, let me guide, let me direct you, and let me do it in my way, in my timing. For God is always speaking, and it's incumbent upon us to be able to have our ears open so we can hear. What did I say? I said, have your ears open so we can hear. And in order to have our ears open to hear, we have to deny ourselves. Not our will, but thou will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Amen, amen, and amen. I am one that believe in prayer. I believe in the power of God. I believe that we can do no good thing unless we seek him. Everything that's good comes from God. Amen. So, and it's just a blessing to understand that you are special and you are of a purpose and God want to use you. Amen. Again, I'm going to be coming from the book of Mark. Glory to God. I'm going to be coming from Mark chapter 13. Hallelujah. Mark chapter 13. Verse 24 through 37. Hallelujah. So get your Bibles out. This is literally time to get in God's presence. This is literally time to get into the Word. It's a time to know that God have need of us, and the purpose that we're here is to be on an assignment for him. So are you on an assignment for God, or are we on an assignment for ourselves? I want you to ask yourself. Amen. I'm going to read from the NIV version of Mark chapter 13. Hallelujah. And I'm going to read verses 24 through 37. Amen, amen, amen. And in those days, following that distress, the sun was darkened, and the moon will not give its light, and the stars will fall from the sky, and the heavenly bodies will be shaken. At that time, people will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with great power and glory. And he will send his angels and gather his elect from the four winds, from the end of the earth to the end of the heavens. Now learn this lesson from the fig tree. As soon as its twigs get tender and the leaves come off, you know that summer is near. Even so, when you see these things happening, you know that it is near, right at the door. Truly, I tell you, this generation will certainly not pass away until all of these things have happened. Heaven and earth will pass away, but the word of God will never pass away. But about that day or hour, no man know, not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but only the Father. Be on guard. Be alert. You do not know when the time will come. It's like a man going away. He leaves his house and he put his servants in charge, each with their own assignment and task. And tell the one at the door, keep watch. Therefore, keep watch, because you do not know when the owner of the house will come back, whether in the evening or at midnight, or when the rooster crow, or at dawn. If he comes suddenly, do not let him find you sleeping. What I say to you, I say to everyone, watch. Hallelujah. The word of God is extremely blessed. Father, we just thank you right now for this hour of power. Lord God, we ask you to come. We ask you to lead. We ask you to direct. I ask you, Lord God, to hide me behind the cross, and I ask you to speak. And I ask you to send your power, send your anointing, and send your fire. Because we understand, Lord God, you are a consuming fire. And every thought that's not like you, God, we ask you to burn it off. Everything that's not like you, God, we ask you to burn it off. So, Father, in the mighty matchless name of Jesus, we yield our way to your way. And, Father, we say, have your way, have your way, have your way. We yield. We say, come, Holy Spirit, rest, rule, and abide. In the mighty, matchless, wonderful name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. Amen. Aren't you excited? Because I'm telling you, when all hell is breaking loose, when it seems like nothing seems to work together for your good, when it seems like that you're doing everything wrong and everything right is happening to other people, when it seems like that you just missed it, when it seems like you're 5 minutes late for work and you get docked, when it seems like you should have been or could have been someplace else and something else should have happened, that's when God is preparing you. God is preparing oneself for him. Amen, 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 amen. I have one thing to say to you today. You are here on an assignment, and it's not about you. It's all about God's will manifesting in our lives. Glory to God. You know, when you understand that when you're preparing your ways to please God, you're bringing forth eternal life. See, Jesus is coming. So let me kind of take it to the natural. That man is coming. But when he gets there, he's going to be in expectation. So what God is trying to do is get us prepared, not only for our spiritual king, but for our natural king or for our natural queen. Amen. Depends on male or female. But glory to God. But we understand that Jesus is going to come again. And guess what? To my understanding, he's coming personally, and he's going to be visibly. He's coming back. He's coming back in power. And guess what else? He's coming back in his glory. See, he will return to consummate his redemptive mission and to establish his eternal kingdom. You know how when you get into a relationship and you date and he whine and dine you, and then you consummate the relationship or you consummate the marriage, he's coming back to consummate his redemption, the mission to establish his eternal kingdom. See, Bible-believing Christians may disagree with some details surrounding the end times, but on this, we can agree that Jesus is coming back. We might have many different interpretations, but I'll tell you one thing that we all know, he's coming back. And so he's away for a moment. And he said, I'm going to prepare a place for you. So we don't have to look for a house again. We don't have to pay any more rent. We don't have to pay our mortgages. We don't have to look at these bills that you paid it off last month to zero, and then, boom, there it is, back to the same price that it was before you paid it off last month. God's coming back to make everything straight, to make every crooked way straight. But he have gave us some keys. And what are we doing with the keys that he have given us? So I want to talk about Jesus' teaching about his return. And I was reading that in Mark 13. I hope you're with me. I hope you're not preoccupied. I hope you want to go deep into the word. And I hope you want to walk into kingdom living that can help us embrace kingdom peace. See, there's a peace that comes with kingdom living. There's a peace that surpasses all understanding. Amen. So what Mark 13, as we approach these scriptures, let's first remind ourselves that the primary purpose of this Bible teaching on the end time event is not to scare you. It's not to satisfy you. It's not to make you curious, but rather it is to reveal how we should live and how we should live in the light of future events to come. Not day to day where we're going through all this stress, but we live in expectation of the word fulfilling itself. Are you with me, God's people? As we read, as I was reading through Mark 13, I want you to look for exhortations. Look for the exhortations in the scriptures that I read. One of the main things that stood out to me is watch out. Are we watching out for God to come? And then it says, be on guard. Yeah, we're on guard. When we leave out the house, we on guard that the thief might come and try to rob us. We on guard for everything else. But are we on guard in expectation and watching out for Jesus to come? He's coming. And then the next verse says, stay awake. Are we sleeping? You know the song, are you sleeping? Are you sleeping, Brother John? So put your name right there. Are you sleeping? Are you sleeping, Sister Teresa? Sister Teresa, listen, are you awake? Are you awake? I want you to take note that the final verse of the chapter where Jesus said this, he said, and what I say to you, I say to everyone, be alert. That's verse 37. Be alert. Don't be asleep. You know, and the Greek word that's translated for be alert is stay awake and watch. It's the very last word of the chapter. And Jesus' final word on this subject, according to Mark's gospel, it is where the emphasis lies in Mark 13. The reoccurring theme of the scripture is concerning the second coming, that we have to be ready. And the scripture is not silent about how we are to be prepared. So I want to talk to you about how to be prepared, you know, how to get over the small stuff. You know, the itty-bitty ikes that destroy the vine, those little small things that seem to be some big things in our natural life that's going to make us miss eternal life. This is real deal that I'm talking about today. This is meat. Amen. You know, you want some meat with the meal, you can have everything else, but if you don't have that meat, or the protein, I'll just say the protein for our vegans, I'll say the protein for our vegetarians, I say the proteins for those that are just looking for some protein. But one of the points that I want to give you, and I want to encourage you to learn how to live in the light of his first coming. What do you mean by that? Do you want to be prepared when he come back, the second coming? So then live like his first coming matter. Sometimes we don't live like Jesus did anything. All we think about is, oh me, oh my. You know, that's all that come out of our mouths. You know, what about me? Me, me, me. But it's all about serving God so that we can become the God that he called us to be. The Bible said that we're little G's. Knowing who you are is everything. See, Jesus spoke parables about his return in Luke 19 and chapter, you can read it at your leisure, Luke 19, and he talked about in verse 11 through 27 when he talked about a nobleman who was traveling to a far country to become king. And the nobleman came, he called 10 of his servants, we'll say 10 of his boys, 10 of his girls, 10 of his homies, and he gave them a coin. And he told them, he said, engage in my business until I come back. So in other words, he was giving them money to manage some things. And after an unspecific duration of time, as the Bible don't say how long, the nobleman came back and he returned as king because he went to become king, came back, and he summoned his boys, his girls, his servants, and he told them, hey, that money I gave you, I want you to give account of your faithfulness. And then the first two servants had been so productive with what they were entrusted with. And then you got the other servants had nothing done, had done nothing. So he simply wrapped his coin in the cloth and hid it. They gave, you know, which you got it, you got it. I'm going to save it. I'm not going to do nothing. I'm just going to save. I'm not going to draw interest on it. I just want to know it's there, you know, like under my mattress or in my closet and in my purse. I got it. But his mistake was that he didn't act on what he professed to believe. See, he professed something about his master, but didn't live by his profession, and he lost his reward. Yes, so we have an assignment, and we got a God to glorify. So those who profess to be Christ in the earth and to live according to what God called you to live, will receive your rewards. Why? Because you're doing the work of the kingdom. Yes, we have to survive. Yes, we have to pay bills. But yes, we need to center our lives around the things of God. I want to just invite you to connect with Kingdom Builders Development Institute. And our assignment is to lead you, guide you, and direct you to a place of fulfillment, to a place where you can walk in God's best. It could be the storm all around you, and you'll be that one dancing in the storm. Amen. The second point that I want to make is partner with us so that not only can we help you, but we can help others like you. And then the cycle go on and on. You could just make a commitment and say, you know what, I'm going to sow this much every month. I'm going to either give you this much time every month. What can I do to help build what God is doing with Kingdom Builder Development Institute? Let me get back on track. So the first point that I was making, how to prepare for the king, how to prepare for your husband, how to prepare for your assignment, how to prepare what God have called you to do. The first point was live in the light. Live in the light of his first coming. Don't take it for granted that he died. He did that for a purpose. Not for us to live any kind of way. Not for us to be upset all the time. Not for us to argue over small things. Not for us to always be angry at somebody. No, that's not why he came. He came that we might have life and have it more abundantly. So we have to live in the light. And the second point that I want to make, we have to be discerning. What do you mean be discerning? See, in Mark 13, and he said this twice, Jesus was warning his disciples not to be led astray by false claims, not to be blown this way and that way. Because if you're blown this way and that way and you're not steadfast and you're not solid, you know, you can talk to a person and you just know they're not solid. We have to be solid. We can't blow with every wind. We can't be led astray by false claims. We have to, the Bible, he said, watch out that no one deceive you. He said false prophets will rise and will perform signs and wonders to lead astray. He said, if possible, they would even get the very elect. But see, we have to be walking in kingdom discernment. So how do we walk in kingdom discernment? We try the Spirit by the Spirit to know if it's God. So we have to discern what spirit is being activated or being permeated in the atmosphere. So we have to be able to discern the Spirit. Try the Spirit by the Spirit to know if it's God. So if it doesn't line up with biblical principles, guess what? It's not God. See, Paul talked about, he even warned them. He warned them. He said, now concerning the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and our being gathered to him, don't let anyone deceive you in any way. See, Satan come to deceive you. He come to trick you, to trap you, to make you fall, and he'll work through people. He will work through people that you closest to. Yes, he will. Why? Because the ones that's close to you are the ones that can get next to you, so they can manipulate. And don't get it twisted. The battle is not with flesh and blood. I want you to always remember the battle is not with flesh and blood. So we're not fighting individuals. We got to get that in our spirit. We're not fighting our sisters and we're not fighting our brothers. We're not fighting our children. We're not fighting our parents. We're not fighting flesh and blood. It's a spiritual fight. So we have to discern spirits. And we discern spirits to know what spirit we're dealing with. How can we discern about what's coming out their mouth? Amen. So the scripture warns us that it's incumbent upon us that we are listening to those who claim to be of God. We need to discern. We need to be able to know if it's God. And when you get time, just take notes, and you can always listen to our broadcast in archives at www.blogtalkradio.com/KBBI. You can always get that cell phone and click that link and listen to this again. But it's 2 Thessalonians, 2nd chapter, verse 1 through 3, talks about don't let anyone deceive you in any way. People try to manipulate to get their way. And the people are the body, but spirits that lead them to try to manipulate you. Amen? We don't want to be manipulated. Why? Because we need to be on track to embrace kingdom living and a kingdom lifestyle so that we can be prepared for the King. We can be prepared when Jesus comes. And then the third point that I want to make is, you know, accept the uncertainties. You know, don't be all, well, when this happens, you get all tore up. You know, you just expect this, expect that. No, be prepared when things happen and you're not sure. Learn how to accept the uncertainty. See, the Bible says, now concerning that day or hour, no man know, neither the angel in heaven nor the Son, but only the Father. Watch, be alert, for you do not know when the time is coming. Accept the fact that we don't know when he's coming. So that means that we have to live every day as though he's coming today. We can't afford to miss a mark because we're battling with flesh and spirit. We're going to do that, but always stand corrected and always get it right real quick because we don't know when he's coming. And the mere fact that no man knows when he coming, we have to live every day as though it's the last day. Because when you think about eternal life, oh, my God, that's a whole different teaching. But it does my heart good to know that we need to be content because no man knows when he coming. But one thing that we do know is he's coming. Amen? He's coming. I'm just saying, heads up. And then the fourth point, I told you I'll give you 7 points. The fourth point is don't never lose hope. Keep hope alive. Keep hope alive. I'm going to read Titus, the second chapter, and then I'm going to read verses 11 and 13. So we cannot afford to lose hope because sometimes things can really weigh us down and we'd be like, whatever. It's not whatever. It's God preparing us. It's God making us. It's God molding us. He never will do anything to hurt us. All we have to do is stand in our righteous place so that we can do the things God called us to do so we can finish our assignment here on earth and be looking forward to reigning with him. And guess what else? We get to see all our loved ones. We get to see them again. Listen what it says in Titus chapter 2, verse 11 through 13. Hallelujah. For the Bible says, for the grace of God has appeared that offers salvation to all people. It teaches us to say no to ungodly and worldly passions, and to live self-controlled lives, upright and godly lives in this present age. For we wait for the blessed hope, the appearance of the glory of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. Are you in expectation? I mean, or are you just going day to day? I want you to ask yourself that. Are you in expectation? You know, do your heart really expect Jesus to come? Do you really want to be ready? You know, do you really want to sit on the right-hand side of the Father? Do you really want to receive eternal life? Salvation is free, but eternal life calls us our carnal life. Oh, I like how that sounds. I'm going to say that again. Eternal life costs us this carnal life. We have to give up carnality. We have to give that up, and we have to stop sweating the small stuff. You know, things that don't matter. You know, some people tell me, well, you know, you don't really have a whole lot of patience. Well, I can say this. I don't have patience for foolishness. Because the way God made me, my eyes are set like flint. I don't like to dwell on the problem. I like to dwell on the solution. Let's talk about the problem real quick, and then let's spend more time on the solution. That's how I'm built. Some people like to talk about the problem and talk about the problem and talk about the problem, and 3, 4, 5 hours can pass, and then when you start talking about the solution, they sleep. We have to stay woke. Are you awake? Amen. So don't lose hope. Gave you the scripture. The expectation of Jesus' return, he compels us to do so. We are supposed to do so. Amen. It's not hard. Surround yourself with people that really have hope in the coming of Christ. Amen. And the fifth point that I would like to make, we have to encourage one another. I need you, and maybe you need me, but I need you. See, the promises that the Lord will descend from heaven with a shout. I think about that. He said, I'm going to descend from heaven with a shout. Mm-hmm. In 1 Thessalonians, he talked about that, and he said, it's followed by a command. It's followed by a command. Can you see the Lord descending from heaven with a shout? Shabaking ha. Listen, therefore, encourage one another with these words. We have to encourage one another that he's coming back. He's going to descend. Love on each other. Forgive each other. Solve problems for one another. Amen. Know your assignment. Again, the affirmation that the day of the Lord will come, he said, I'm coming like a thief in the night. So we don't know when he's coming. We have to exhort one another and encourage one another and build each other up so that when he does come, I got another soldier next to me and they got a soldier next to them and we all soldiered up. Why? Because we prayed up. And we're soldiered up. And everybody around us is soldiered up. Why? Because they're in the same atmosphere that we're in because they are in the same climax that we've set. What type of atmosphere are you setting? You know, and I was telling a lady I was ministering to this morning, you set an atmosphere. You set the climax. You are a thermometer. Amen. When people come in your area where you at, when they come around you, guess what? If they have discernment, they can discern what's going on. They can tell if you've been praying. They can tell if you've been forgiving. They can tell if you've been all stuck. They can tell if you've been depressed. They can tell. So all I'm saying to you is, set the atmosphere for your life. Set the atmosphere for the lives of others. Amen. So we have to encourage one another. And then encourage yourself in the Lord. Look in the mirror and say something good about yourself. Don't be talking, you look in the mirror and say, dang, my ear is big. Oh, look at my nose. No, that's the ears God gave you. Those are the ears. But that's the nose he gave you. That's what he wanted you to be. And guess what? He gave you all of these gifts and talents. What did you do with the coin that he gave you? Which one are you? Did you take it and you made it multiply? Or were you so stuck that you put it under the pillow and you just want to look at it because and mentally just want to know, I got that money or I got that coin. It's there. Let me keep it moving. The sixth point is, in order to prepare ourselves for kingdom living and for the king, we have to live as if today was the day that he's coming back. Listen, if we're not careful, the delay in Jesus' return will lead us to complacency. See, living in expectation that he could return today. It compels us to live every day for what really matters, and that would be eternal life. So every day, if I wake up and say, it might be today. So I'm a soldiering up every day. I'm praying every day. I'm trying to hear his voice every day. Because when he comes, I want to be able to answer. And I want my calling and election to be made sure. So that means I can't be in and out. I can't be cold and hot. I have to be in, and I have to be hot, and I have to be on fire, and I have to be always ready to give an answer for my calling. I have to always be ready to go in the lion's den. I have to always be ready to tear down the kingdom of hell. I have to always be ready to march in. You know how something ignites your fire? You'd be like, oh, no, devil, not today. That's how we have to live every day. Amen. Let me make the seventh point. The seventh point is keep on doing the work that Jesus left us to do. That's our assignment. So he gave us so much work to do. We really don't have time to be idle. If you're around someone that makes you idle, get away from them. If you have someone that want to have you doing everything for them and you're not doing work for the king, I'll tell you what, they are not the one. Amen. Seven. See, Jesus, he warned of troubling problems and situations going to happen near the end of the age. He talked about the plagues, and he talked about persecution of the believers. He talked about it. So we don't have to say, oh, really? No, because if we read our Bible, the Bible tells us that these things are going to happen. So we have to study our Bible so we can rightfully divide it. And when we rightfully divide it, I'm telling you, God will give you revelation. And then when things happen, you'll be said, you know, I knew that was going to be in the morning paper. So in Mark 13, and I read I'm going to read Mark 13, and I'm going to read, I read 7 and 8, you know, and it's really important that we start reading our Bible. We have all these books. Take them out. And don't just start trying to read. If you got to read one verse a day or one verse a week, read it till you get it. Read it till you see the movie. You know, read it so you can get the revelation. That's what it's all about, getting the revelation of the word, so that when you get the revelation, guess what? You understand what you just read. Amen. So let me go ahead and read Mark 13. And I hope you have your Bibles open and you're reading with me. Amen. Mark 13, I'm reading 7, and I'm going to read 8 and 9. When you hear of war and rumors of war, do not be alerted. Such things must happen, but the end is still to come. Nations will rise against nation and kingdoms against kingdom. There will be earthquakes in various places and famines. These are the beginning of birth pains. We must be on guard. We can't slip. Oh, no, it's there. We must be on guard. You will be handed over to the local councils and flogged in the synagogue. On the account of me, you will stand before the governors and the kings as a witness to them. Now, can you be convicted? Is it enough evidence on you for you to be convicted of a Christian? For you to be convicted of a believer? Do you have enough evidence? If I was to ask for a discovery of your life, would it be enough information in that package to convict you? Or would they tell you to go free because it's not enough evidence You didn't bear enough fruit. You didn't do what God called you to do because you were so much involved in you. Okay, let's keep it moving. But he added that nothing will be able to destroy us. So why are we downtrodden? We have already won. We win. We don't have to try to win. All we have to do is keep on doing the work that Jesus left us to do. He said, go to the highways and the byways and compel, beg them to come to him. Tell them about Jesus. Live the life that I called you to live so that, guess what? When they see you living, they see your peace and they see your prosperity in the kingdom, they're going to want to be like you. We can't be distracted because the enemy comes to distract us from unnecessary things, and he wants to take us away from necessary things. We all should be teaching and preaching the gospel to all nations. That's our assignment. Oh, no, I ain't no minister. Listen, we all are part of the ministry of reconciliation, reconciling man back to God. That's the job of all ministers. That's the job of God's people. Before ascending to heaven, you know, Jesus gave us our marching orders. Yes. He don't come back and say, you didn't hear me? I told you already. He's not going to do that. He gave us our marching orders. The church of God should be marching, not in a building. I mean, we need a building, but not in a building. We need to march. He said, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come on you. Power to overcome these little small things. Power to overcome every issue that's going to rise. And you will be my witness in Jerusalem, in Judea, in Samaria, to the end of the earth. Acts 1 and 8, I know you read it already. But the very point is the disciples just stood there looking up into the sky. Guess what happened? Two angels appeared, and they spoke the word to the church today, the word that we need to hear. Why are you standing there, glazing into the heavens? Why are you dormant? Why? Jesus coming back. So get busy. We got to get busy, people of God. We got to get busy with the work of him that sent us. He sent us to do a work. He sent us to complete a task. Some of us just going the wrong way. And Jesus warned his disciples, and I read about it, don't be led astray. Don't be deceived. You know, don't be manipulated. It's no new gospel. You might get a deeper revelation, but there's nothing new under the sun. Let me say this. We took a vacation. My son sponsored us to go do some traveling, and we went to NASA and Kennedy Space Center. And in going there, just looking at the continents and looking at the moon and the stars and the planets, there's something much bigger than us. God got a plan for us. God wants us to learn of him. He wants us to eat and suck with him. Get over yourself. He said, who is my family? My family is those that love the Lord. Yes, we love our natural family. But we have to know the plans that he has for us. He declared it. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope. Do you have hope? And to give you a future. So why are you standing there glazing, looking at the stars? Amen. Amen, amen, amen. Glory to God. I'm telling you, I'm excited because I see what God is trying to do for his people. So I want to invite you to save the date December 30th and December 31st. Join us for our two-day prayer conference. We're going to have a prophetic dinner theater. We're going to have classes, and it's a prayer conference. And we want to activate you into 2022. 2022. We want you to be able to look up and live. It's only by God's grace that it could be done. So I want to encourage you, partner with us to help us help someone else. And that's all we're doing. Elder and I and all of KBI, Kingdom Builders Development Institute, and the Kingdom Ministry, our whole life is all about building other people. Because I want to see more people manifest and activate and know that God has called them to do a work. So we talked about preparing oneself for the King and how to walk and live in kingdom living. I'm just going to go over the points so you can have it. How do you do it? You live in the light of his first coming. You have to be discerning. You have to accept the uncertainty. Don't lose hope. Encourage one another. Live if today was the last day and it's the day that he's coming. And last but not least, keep doing the work that Jesus sent you to do. Amen. Glory to God. I'll tell you one thing. When you surround yourself with people that's encouraging you, and they're not passing judgment. Well, if you got to judge, the Bible says righteously judge. We judge righteously by the word. If you're a thief and someone calls you a thief, you can't say, don't judge me. You judge yourself. If you are a lover of God's people and I call you a lover of God's people, you judge yourself how you're living. So why are you standing there glazing into the heavens? Let's get busy. Join us. We're going to have an awesome play. You don't want to miss it. Dinner theater. It's going to be really, really great. It's going to be life-changing. And I promise you that Jesus is coming back, and he has given us our marching orders. Come on and receive the power when the Holy Spirit come upon you. We want to tell you to come join us, and you'll get able. You'll have all the information you need on Monday with Eventbrite.com. You'll be able to register. And you'll be able to get the hotel information, the event location, and all of that. Save the date. Bring the year in with us. Tell somebody. And what we're doing is we want to encourage everyone to get ready for the King. Amen. Walk in the kingdom and live with godly standards. Love on each other. Encourage each other because he's coming back again. So, Father, we just thank you right now in the name of Jesus. Father, that you are so awesome. You are so much God. You're sovereign, and you do it all by yourself, Father, because you're all of that. And, Father, we ask you in the name of Jesus that you would rest upon the canvas of our heart, that you would make our heart pliable, that we would be able to be tenderized by your Holy Spirit, that we would be able to live the life that you've given us to do. Do the things that you sent us out to do, that we will be encouraged to speak when you tell us to speak. We will know when to be quiet when you tell us to be quiet, that the words that we speak will build up and not tear down, and that we will live a life that's pleasing to you that will build others. Thank you, Lord God, that we embrace that we are all thermostats and that we set atmospheres. We're atmosphere setters, and we thank you for it. Father, forgive us for anything that we've done that has not pleased you. But, Father, we thank you that you hide your word in us, that we might not sin against you. So we ask these things in Jesus' name, and we thank you that it's already done. In the mighty, matchless, wonderful name of Jesus, we pray. Let us go in God's speed. Let us love. Let us forgive. Let us worship. Let us do the dance. Amen. Because a change has come. It's your day. And I want to speak prophetically over someone on the line. I don't know who it is, but I want to release it. God wants you to know that it's a new beginning and overflow is at your door. So we say, God bless you. Put some soup on that natural and soar so that God can use you. Amen, amen. This is Pastor Teresa Dock. We're signing out, Elder and I, and all of the Kingdom Builders family right here on southeastern of Michigan. We want to say we love you, and we want to say to you, clear the land. Let God give you the desires of your heart by acknowledging him in all your ways so he can direct your path. I'm going to play this one song in closing, and we're just going to ask God. We're going to go old school. We're going to ask him to come on in the room. Amen. Invite him into the room of your heart. God bless everyone. Have a supernatural rest of your evening. We love you.
There was a family on their way down south, and they had gone as far as they could go, and they made their way, and they were driving on a dirt road. Storm came, the lightning started flashing. The young man that was driving the car lost control of the automobile, ran off the road, and everybody was all right except him. They got out of the car, and just across the dirt road was a white house. They took him across there to that white house and knocked on the door, and the white lady came to the door and said, can I help you? They said, ma'am, if you just let us, our brother just got in an accident. We want to just come in and make a telephone call. We want to call the doctor. They walked in, and daughter got on the phone, and the phone kept ringing, and there was no answer. Finally, somebody picked up the phone and said, I'm sorry, but the doctor's not here. He's out on his round. Somebody say, yes, here. Well, the daughter put that phone down and went back into the living room. And the little children, they were sitting there crying. They were all sitting there crying. And by that time, grandmama had got out of the car. She made her way across that dirt road, and she walked up to it and just opened up the screen door, and she peeped in and she said, how's my son doing? And they told her, said, mama, we tried to call the doctor, but he was out on his rounds. She said, child, let me come in. She walked in and she looked at that white lady. She said, ma'am, do you have a closet? She said, ma'am, do you have a closet? The white lady looked at her and said, if you want to use the phone, you can use the phone. She said, no, ma'am, I don't want to use the phone, but I want to call my doctor, and I need to go to your closet. Wait a minute. She made her way to that closet, and there was just enough room for her to get in there. She walked in that closet. The children were walking behind her. She walked in that closet, and she closed the door, and before she talked to the Lord, she said this.
Come on.
into the room, call Jesus. He'll give you all of your medicine. Just tell him, come on in the room. Everyone, I'll say good night and have a blessed rest of your evening.
Tell my past, I say.